When it comes to Jesus, the opinions and views expressed are almost endless. Some people see Him as God. Others say He was simply a good teacher. And still others deny that He ever existed. But all opinions about Jesus are just that. Opinions. It's only in the Bible that we find the truth about Jesus. Who He is, what He did, how He did it. The testimony of Scripture about Jesus is at the center of our faith. One of the reasons so many professing Christians are carried away into false doctrines is because they don't know what the Bible says. Scripture is truth, and it reveals to us God's truth about us, about our world, and about God Himself. If you have your Bible handy, if you open with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19, where it reads, "For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." In this passage, Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. He taught revealed truth, and he confronted false teaching. And so I want you to consider with me six questions about Jesus that are only answered in the Bible. Answers about the fact that Jesus died for us. First question is, well, who is Jesus? Well, He's God in the flesh. In verse 19, again, "For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell." Many biblical scholars believe that the problem at Colossae that Paul was dealing with was a false teaching known as Gnosticism. The Gnostics taught that Jesus was a created being, one of many spiritual beings between man and God. So here's man, here's God in heaven, and between man and God there was all these spiritual beings. There was a need for them. And they were all at different levels depending on their knowledge. And the more knowledge, the closer they were to God. The less knowledge, the closer they were to man. And they believed that the spirit was good, but the flesh was bad. And so God, who is perfect, He wouldn't dwell with the flesh. And so therefore, there was a need for this communication, this connection by these spiritual beings between holy God and sinful evil man. And so because of that, they denied the incarnation of Jesus Christ. That God, holy God, could become a man, evil, sinful man. And Paul dealt with this head on. He said that not only did Jesus reconcile us through His flesh, but he stated that Jesus, in Him, dwelt the fullness of God. And in chapter 2 and verse 9, he makes it very clear. He says, "For in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So Paul just went right after their main doctrine that God is separated from man. And there's a need for this spiritual communication. He said, no, God, in Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead, dwelt in the body of Jesus Christ. And the Greek word that's translated there in the verse, fullness, it points to the divine powers and the attributes in Jesus. And so, and the word dwell means to permanently reside, not just to stop by, not just to visit, not just to come and go, but to permanently reside. And so the fullness of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead are a part of who Jesus was and who Jesus is. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born of a virgin with a human body and a sinless human nature. And in Him, perfect humanity and the divine nature coexist. who Jesus is one of the most important issues that we'll ever face. If He's not who He says He is, then He could not do what He said He did. And if He didn't do what He said He did, then guess what? Our faith is worthless. It's useless, doesn't help us at all. If Jesus is not God and He did not become the perfect sacrifice on Calvary's cross, then the salvation, the forgiveness that He offered us doesn't exist. And our faith is worthless. And we have no hope of eternal life. We have no hope of heaven. And so as Christians, we must know who Jesus is, and we must be able to explain it to others. Jesus Christ was and is completely God and completely human. A second question that follows then is, Jesus is God in the flesh. What did Jesus do? Well, He brought us back to God. In verse 20, the first part of it, it says, "And by Him," speaking of Jesus, "to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven." So, Jesus, what He did was He brought us back to God. That word reconcile means to bring back into proper relationship, which means that at one point we were in a right relationship with God for that brief moment before we sinned. First opportunity we had to sin, we sinned. And we broke off that relationship that we had with God. And we needed to be brought back. And that's what reconcile means, to bring something back into a proper relationship. It's used three times in the New Testament, meaning the restoration of a previously existing relationship. Something that was there already was being brought back. So sin puts us at odds with God. Jesus, through His work on the cross, He bridged the gap that we made between God and ourselves. He bridged that gap between us and God, making it possible for us to have a relationship with God. Without Jesus as the bridge over that gap, we cannot have a relationship with God. It's impossible, because that relationship was broken. So reconciliation produces peace between warring parties. It's not only an ending or a cessation of hostility, but it's the presence of tranquility. It's the presence of harmony. It's the presence of a unity, of a bringing together. And so Jesus is God. He worked to bring us back to God. But why did He do it? He did it because we're rebellious to God. He says in verse 21, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled." So He reconciled us to God. Why? Well, He reconciled us to God because we were alienated. You know, our state was isolation, loneliness, and a sense of not belonging. Once we broke fellowship with God, once we broke our relationship with God, we were out there all by ourselves. So alienated means to be cut off and separated. So we were no longer in a relationship and fellowship with God. We were out there all by ourselves. Jesus worked to bring us back from that alienation. So not only were we alienated, not only were we just out there by ourselves, but we were enemies. We were enemies. You see, our attitude outside of Christ toward God was rebellion. Those who don't know Jesus, listen, those who don't know Jesus, those who live outside of a relationship with Him, those outside of His will are living in rebellion against God. And it doesn't matter how good of a person you are. If you are outside of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you are in rebellion against God. You have made yourself an enemy of God, and God has made Himself an enemy of you. Those who are outside of a relationship with God hate God. Says we're enemies. Have you ever wondered why some people are so opposed to Christianity? They're not opposed to other philosophies and religions. They're not opposed to other doctrines. But you start to talk about God or Jesus, and man, they can get downright hateful. And why? Paul tells us in another place over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, says that we were by nature children of wrath. we became the objects of God's wrath because God brings judgment upon sin. And because of that, that's what happened with Jesus on the cross. That's why God brought all of His wrath on Jesus, actually turned His face away from Jesus so that Jesus could cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, the answer to that question is because God won't look upon sin. In fact, what God brings on sin is His punishment, is His wrath. And so we, because of our sin, were by our very nature, our sinful nature, children of wrath, Paul says. So not only were we alienated, alone, and separated from God, not only had we made ourselves enemies of God through our sin, but we were wicked. We weren't even good people. We think we're good people. Other people may think we're good people, but we weren't. Paul says we were wicked. That phrase, by wicked works, speaks of the natural result of a nature and an attitude that's hostile to God and His truth. If in our very nature and our attitude we are rebellious to God, we're hostile to God, then guess what? The things we do are going to reflect that. And our deeds are going to be wicked. Because a person's actions will follow his attitudes. And because we had an attitude of rebellion toward God, then the things that we did were wicked in God's sight. How did Jesus do it? He did it by redeeming us. In the second part of verse 20 and the first part of verse 22, it says, having made peace through the blood of His cross in the body of His flesh through death. When it says that He made it through the blood of His cross, the blood is just another term to describe the entire redemptive work of Jesus Christ. It just takes the whole work of Christ, everything that He did, dying on the cross, the suffering, the dying, and being buried, that's all expressed in the word blood, the blood of His cross. And that concept of redemption is absolutely foundational to our faith. The founder of a group called Atheists for Jesus, his name is Maged Mikhail, and he claimed that while he did not believe in God, in the divinity of Jesus, or in any of the miracles, he did think that the teachings of Jesus were good. And that by the knowledge gained through His teachings, we could better ourselves. The actual salvation was through His deeds, not His words. Salvation was from uncertainty. Thus the deeds of the Savior figure, whoever He is, are quite important. What is of absolute importance, however, are His teachings. A lot of people think that today. That's wrong. It was the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary's cross that saved us from our sins, not simply His teaching. Knowledge by itself can't save us. Jesus died physically. He could not have died a physical death if He wasn't fully human. He could not have been a sacrifice for our sins if He wasn't fully God. He had to be fully human. He had to be fully God. Why did God do it? Because God loves us. That's the reason He did it. Because God loves us. In the second part of verse 22, it says, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. All because God loves us. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. One day, every last one of us are going to stand before God. Each of us will give an account for our works, for our words, and for every part of our lives. And those who have been redeemed, those who have been reconciled through Jesus, will have nothing to explain. Because all of their sins, all of their shortcomings will be covered by the blood. But those who don't have the blood of Jesus Christ covering them, well, they're going to have to answer for everything that they've said, everything that they've done, whether good or bad. And so Jesus did His work on the cross so that we could be brought before the Father because of the Father's love in order to present us to Him. To present us blameless. And blameless means without accusation. You know, the devil, he's the accuser of all the believers. You know, he works to point out all of our sins. That's his work. That's what he does. He works to point out all of our sins because he wants to keep us in bondage to sin. And Jesus paid the penalty for our sins so that when we stand before God, no one will be able to point a finger at us. No one will be able to point out any sin. But also as holy. And holy means set apart from sin. But to be set apart from sin means that we are also set apart to God for His purposes. We're purified from the effects of sin. Made holy, made blame. We can't be blamed. We're made pure. And then also, because of all that, we're above reproach. This is the legal term. That means that a person is not open to accusation. He's free from guilt. So when Jesus brings us before the Father, there's no one that can accuse us of anything. We're completely without guilt. When Jesus said that it was finished, guess what? It was finished. The deed was done. The sacrifice was made. The price for our souls was paid. We don't need some special revelation between God and us. We don't need some secret knowledge. We don't need something extra on top of what He did. It simply said it was according to His good pleasure. God wanted to do it. Can you imagine that? We didn't do anything that made God feel like loving us or wanting to love us. No, we were in the midst of our sin, filthy rags before God, and He chose on His own to love us, and not only to love us, but to express that love by sending Jesus Christ to come and take care of what was necessary in order for us to have a relationship with Him. God just simply wanted to reconcile us to Himself. If He hadn't done it, He would have been completely just and a perfect and holy God. God did not need to save us at all. He didn't need to do a thing. The last question that I have is, well, was Jesus successful in what He did? Oh yeah, we are secure in Him. In verse 23 it says, it's this kind of interesting verse, because the way it sounds is actually the opposite of what it means. It says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. That word if, that one little two-letter word, if, in that verse, has caused many, many people to misunderstand what is being said there. From the original language, that word could just as well have been translated since. The original language doesn't convey any kind of doubt about the situation of our relationship with God. No doubt at all. Paul was affirming that since they've been reconciled, they will remain faithful. He was confident that those who are truly in Christ will not stray from the faith. They will persevere. And why? Because of their faith, they have a new mindset. They have a new outlook on life that gives them the desire to do what pleases God. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, it's not that we just choose to love God, put our faith there, and that later on we could choose to take it away. No, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're made new. We're given a new life. We're given a new mind. The Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. And that completely changes the way we think. It changes the whole way that we look at things and view things. And so we now have a desire to do things that please God. It says there also the hope of the gospel. You know, the Christian's hope is not based on external knowledge. It's not based on some secret knowledge, but on the completed work of Jesus Christ. And that's the attack point of Satan right there. He wants to take our hope out of the gospel. He wants us to place our hope in things which will let us down, so that He can disillusion us, and so that He can help us to lose our hope. But if our hope is placed in Jesus and placed on Jesus, then it'll never fail. It'll always stand. In fact, the great hymn, The Solid Rock, says it this way. It says it so clear. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And the next verse, His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. The person who has been made new, a new creation in Jesus Christ, will persevere. He won't fall away. It's a part of the new nature. And that change, that perseverance, is evidence of the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. Do you know Jesus Christ today? Is He your Savior?